Hello and welcome back to episode 10 of the From the Nosebleeds podcast, the week after the Super Bowl. So a lot to discuss today. Thomas Pokornik joined by Thomas Coburn as always.
Hello, hello.
And Paulo Gismondi in studio who is on a mic today, but he's in
can't speak.
Yeah.
The mic doesn't work.
So we're going to have to kind of watch him throughout the episode. And
after that pigs in the blanket comment.
He's on about.
After the pigs in the blanket comment, we took away his rights to speak.
But last week on the podcast, we pretty much previewed the Super Bowl for a good 40 minutes or so. A lot of talk about it. And now here we are, the Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions.
Congratulations to all you Chiefs fans out there.
Actually, before we even get into the Super Bowl, you didn't say what episode it is today.
Oh, it's the, okay, well.
I said it's episode 10.
It's the DeAndre Hopkins episode, but it's really actually the Leo Messi episode because he wears number 10 because of Messi.
I think that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard from an NFL player to say they wear number 10. He's a wide receiver. He's only allowed to wear whatever 20 numbers that are available to wide receivers. And he goes, I wear number 10 because of Leo Messi, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, now that that's out of the way, episode 10, DeAndre Hopkins episode, let's get right into Super Bowl talk. That was one of the better Super Bowls. I think it definitely lived up to the hype and the expectations. I thought it was going to be a great game. In my opinion, it delivered. I really enjoyed it.
I think the game delivered in terms of, I don't think it really met the expectations of like what people were thinking was going to happen didn't happen. Like both quarterbacks were not great. And you can say Mahomes was great in the fourth and we'll get to that. But I'm saying like that was not a Mahomes performance.
No, it wasn't at all. The whole game I was saying, oh my gosh, he's rattled. Oh my goodness, he's nervous. He was missing passes. I've never seen Patrick Mahomes do that before.
Well, if somebody said Mahomes is going to throw two interceptions, everybody would think, okay, Niners win easily.
Exactly. And especially that second interception, I thought, I was like, oh my goodness, they're actually going to lose. Because I thought the Chiefs, as close as I thought it was, I thought the Chiefs were going to win. And I really believed that. And when he threw that second pick with about 8 minutes left, down 10, that was it for me. It was, oh my goodness, the 49ers just won the game. He managed to put together some Mahomes magic really, really late, rallied the team together, which was incredible. I think he deserves Super Bowl MVP. I know some people were saying, oh my gosh, no, Damian Williams had a better game. He got two touchdowns, this, and that. If Mahomes doesn't step up there in the final 7 minutes or whatever he did, they don't win that game. So I think he was definitely deserving of that Super Bowl MVP.
I mean, yeah, you could. I have nothing against giving him the MVP, but I think Damian Williams like has a legitimate argument he should have won. Because Mahomes just wasn't, like, he wasn't great for the first three quarters. And then he was, like, okay, this might sound really dumb to say, and people are going to be like, what? How can you say that? But it's like, when they were down 10, it's kind of a testament to how great Mahomes is. I was kind of just like it didn't feel like a big lead at all. And it's like, when they came back, it's like, I wasn't, like, shocked.
Oh, I was
just like, okay, they're down 10, 7 minutes. They're a touchdown away. And it's like, every time he has the ball, you think it's like, it's almost, like, easy for them to score a touchdown.
That's why I don't. Everyone's razzing on Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo too. He took a beating on social media, and I just don't think that this is that bad of a collapse.
No.
I know
it's
crazy to say you're up by 10 with 6 minutes left in the Super Bowl, you lose, but you're playing against Patrick Mahomes. I think it was just more of a testament to how great Patrick Mahomes was than how poor the 49ers were. And if you look at what unraveled, the 49ers had one 3-and-out all game long. It just happened at the wrong time. They could have had it on their first drive, but they had it right after Kansas City scored to make it 20-17. They went 3-and-out. Casey had all the momentum in the world. We knew they were going to score. That touchdown to go up was an incredibly close call. Managed to go Casey's way. I do think that Damian Williams did break the plane for a touchdown.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think that was.
I think in a perfect world, like if you knew 100%, I don't think he got in.
I think that it was too close of a call, and the fact that they called it a touchdown on the field, they just couldn't.
If they had called him out of bounds, if they had called him out of bounds on the play, he would have been. They would have. That call was not changing no matter what.
I just think that KC had all the momentum, and we knew Mahomes was going to just light up at the right time, and he did. I don't really see a point where Kyle Shanahan really blew this game. His clock management to end the first half was terrible, and I'll grill him on that. But for me, that comeback was more, wow, Patrick Mahomes really did that. I know Richard Sherman got cooked more than once.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. But Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, your Super Bowl MVP prediction. But I just, and even Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know your opinion on this, but did you think he played a bad game?
Bad, no, but I think you saw his limitations on that throw to Emmanuel Sanders. Like, that is he a quarterback that can win you a Super Bowl? Yes, but it's almost like you can't rely on him to do anything big.
I think he played a typical Jimmy Garoppolo game. That's what you get out of Jimmy G. I thought he was great in the first half. I think he ended up being 15 for 17 or something. He seemed accurate. He was managing the clock well. He's not flashy. He's not going to rip a tight spiral in a tight window on 3rd and 7 where he scrambles. He doesn't have these Patrick Mahomes type plays, but I think he did enough throughout the game to put the 49ers in that lead. Again, what I'm going to say that they just chose to have their worst moments at the worst time, and that was they had that 3-and-out late in the game, whereas all game they were at least chewing some clock, getting first downs here and there. The run game was working. But I don't think he was horrible. Like, I would not. Jimmy Garoppolo's a guy who, he still has less starts in the NFL than Baker Mayfield, which is crazy to say because of how long Jimmy Garoppolo's been around. But as a starting quarterback, he hasn't had those opportunities. For people to say that they should move on from him and go after Tom Brady or whoever other free agents are out there, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I think this is the argument if you're a Jimmy Garoppolo doubter, which I'm not, I would say. But it's how many quarterbacks make that throw to Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah.
Like, in the league, I would say there's 15 quarterbacks that make,
that throw. Like, Matthew Stafford would make that throw on a deep ball.
Baker makes that throw. That's not a difficult throw. I mean, it is, but it's not like
It's not uncommon to overthrow a guy on a deep ball.
But by that much?
I'm not saying that.
That was bad.
Like this happens. I'm saying, of course, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, these guys who aren't really considered to be that much above in the tier than Jimmy Garoppolo, they would make these throws, but they don't never overthrow a receiver. It was just the timing. Right. And that's when, because that would have iced the game. So that's why it really stings there for Jimmy. Again, if you play that final 7 minutes over 10 more times, like, I expected Kansas City to come back.
Yeah, no, if you play that 10 more times, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like 50-50. I don't know why, I honestly don't understand why people got so, like, this is one of the best comebacks ever.
No, it was a great comeback. It's just that I wasn't that shocked by it.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Just because of the standard that I hold to that Kansas City offense. Last year, the Rams marched into the Super Bowl. They had the top offense, and their offense just didn't deliver in the Super Bowl.
Also, Gurley got hurt.
Yeah, Gurley got hurt.
Been the same since.
There was no element of doubt for me for Kansas City. So when I saw them with only 10 points on the board with 6 minutes left, I was thinking, okay, it's only a matter of time. Like,
yeah,
there's
due.
No way they're going to show up. They were averaging 40 points a game in the playoffs. I know it's only two games because they had a bye, but still, 40 points a game. You don't just show up to the Super Bowl and put up 10 points. So I knew they were going to catch fire at some point. The final Damian Williams touchdown made the score look worse than it was.
Just it wasn't that. Yeah.
He found a hole and that's it in the end zone. But like to say Kyle Shanahan, you gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter. Come on. Like that last touchdown was...
Yeah.
It was a nothing touchdown.
Trying to stop them to try to get the ball back. But the game was over.
Yes, exactly. But I wasn't too shocked that KC managed to come back.
No, not at all. I would 100% agree with you there. But I would say this. In terms of the Super Bowl MVP, you can give it to Mahomes or Damian Williams. The best player in that game was Nick Bosa.
Yeah, he was. That's the one thing that happened. Mahomes, throughout the game, he could not get a break.
No.
And Casey has a pretty good O-line, and they were just giving it to him, whether it was Bosa, Armstead, but it was mainly Bosa.
Yeah.
DeForest Buckner got in there too, but it just seemed like he had no time. And then I think he got a little bit rattled. Then he started to try to do too much. He started to try and play the Russell Wilson game. And Patrick Mahomes is not, you know, he has these moments here and there, but he is not as good as Russell Wilson.
Nobody can play the Russell Wilson game except Russell Wilson.
As evading pressure. Yeah. And then he started to miss on his throws. So, yeah, Bosa was definitely the reason why
they couldn't get the running game going either.
Yeah.
It was, he was, I mean, like, if you gave MVPs to, if it was, like, accepted in sports culture to give MVPs to a team that loses, which it isn't, you know what I mean? Like, nobody wins MVP if you lose.
I think just looking across sports, I think in the NHL it happened maybe once where the Conn Smythe was given to a losing team.
NBA, it's like Jerry West did it, but it never, like, LeBron would have won against the Warriors a couple times if it was, like, who was truly the MVP.
The year that LeBron came back, let's say they lost that game, even though he came back from 3-1 down, forced game 7, I still don't even think he would have gone.
No, they wouldn't have. They don't do that anymore. So, yeah. Shout out to Nick Bosa. Played great, but, you know.
He got absolutely destroyed on social media after, because that picture surfaced of him crying on the sidelines, and he got the whole when you don't get to meet President Trump treatment just because of his history there. But yeah, I want to talk just comparing this Super Bowl to Super Bowls of the past, because last year a lot of people weren't a fan of the Super Bowl. So I want to hear from you where you compare it to some of the great Super Bowls you watched maybe in the last 10 years, and even give me your favorite Super Bowl of all time that you've seen.
Okay, favorite Super Bowl ever, that's easy for me. It's the first Super Bowl I watched, which was 2007.
So that was Patriots.
The undefeated
Giants.
Patriots.
Yeah, that's the first one I watched as well.
That would be my favorite Super Bowl, probably. No, 100% it is. That was, what a game, right? Helmet catch and everything, but in terms of where the Super Bowl ranks, I hate to say that it, like, I kind of think it was average. I know a lot of people are, like, really loving it.
If that comeback didn't happen, it would have been, in my opinion, a dud. Like, I was saying, oh, are you kidding me? This offense doesn't even show up. Because that comeback happened, and because I was cheering for Mahomes just because I'm a big fan of his, I did really enjoy the ending. But something that you said last week is you wanted to see Mahomes have the ball with like a minute left, and it's like, if he scores, they win. If he doesn't, they lose. And because he scored with 2:30 left on the clock, then Jimmy got the ball. I was cheering for Mahomes, but I said, I want Jimmy to score, but he needs to score in like a minute. Like, it's got to be quick. So Mahomes gets another chance to make this even better. And I just knew it wasn't going to happen.
Like, I'm trying, if you think about Super Bowls, let's say since 2007. I try to think of the Super Bowls. Which Super Bowls is that Super Bowl that just happened better than? It's better than the Rams Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's probably one of the worst, in my opinion. It's not better than any other Patriots Super Bowl. It's not better than the two against the Giants. It's not better than the one against the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Seahawks one was really good.
And certainly not the Falcons.
And even the
and Eagles.
Said the two against the, oh, that Eagles one was that's probably highest on my list.
Exactly.
In terms of just 60 minutes of pure entertainment value. There was scoring throughout the entire game. There were a ton of lead changes in that game. Philly special. Like, there was a lot of great moments. I put this one above the Broncos-Panthers one. I did not enjoy that Super Bowl at all. Rams and Patriots last year as well. There were a couple that I didn't enjoy just for sentimental value. Like, I cannot stand watching the Patriots win the Super Bowl, so obviously all the times that they've won, I did not enjoy those too much, especially the 28-3 one, because that was, and again, this is Kyle Shanahan again, that was one of the worst collapses I've ever seen. So yeah, I didn't really enjoy that one too much.
Okay, so I have the list of them pulled up right now. Since 2007.
One that was really good was the one after the Giants and Patriots one. That was the Cardinals versus Steelers.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, that was a really good game.
And sorry, technically, the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl took place in 2008, but it was the 2007 season.
Okay, yeah.
Let's just get that.
Just like this year was 2020, but 2019 season.
If I'm looking at these Super Bowls, it's actually one of the worst since 2007. We'll go through them quick.
We had really Packers, Steelers, just off the top of my head.
Okay, wait, but look, Giants, Patriots, that one's better. Steelers, Cardinals, that one was fantastic.
Yeah, that was better. Amazing.
Saints, Colts.
That was okay.
No, but onside kick at half. That has to be better.
I know, but it ended in a Tracy Porter pick six. Like, it was over with a couple of minutes left. We knew Peyton wasn't going to do it. But yeah, that onside kick at half, that's like...
Packers, Steelers, that was better.
That was all right, yeah.
I think that was better.
No, I would put this one above.
The second Giants, Patriots, that was really a good one, Manningham's catch. Okay, then, actually probably one of my favorite, the Ravens and Niners.
That one was cool because of the blackout.
Yeah, and then the huge comeback by the 49ers. Comeback,
they didn't end up winning, but yeah.
Okay, so this Super Bowl that just happened, it's better than Seattle and Denver.
Yeah, that was, because of the blow, that was terrible.
And then after that, you can say that, I guess you said the Broncos, Panthers. I kind of like that Super Bowl, though.
I did not like it at all. I was a big Cam Newton fan.
Well, that's why I liked it. I was not a big Cam Newton guy, so when he didn't jump on the fumble.
And for him to just show up to the Super Bowl and just not show up at the same time was disappointing to me, because I thought they were going to light up Denver, especially how bad their offense was that year. I agree with you in the sense that this year it was like a middle of the park over the last...
Well, it really wasn't.
13 years?
It was the third worst. It was your third worst Super Bowl, my second worst.
No, I wouldn't say the third worst.
Okay, so which Super Bowl do you like? Okay, which Super Bowl you prefer this over? You prefer it over the...
Packers game, the Colts...
The Packers, Steelers?
The Packers, Steelers.
Okay,
Saints,
fine.
Colts.
Rams, Patriots.
I'd say it's about... So there's been, what, 13 Super Bowls since then? I'd put it at about like 7 on the list. So around average. 7-8 area.
I think you're cheating. Maybe the 8. Okay.
It's because I'm a big Mahomes fan.
Fine. Yeah.
And because, and we have to mention this because not last week, but 2 weeks ago, the title of our podcast episode was Orange Gatorade, because we broke down all the different Gatorade colors. Okay. We looked at the odds. I was saying you got to hammer home purple just because they had the worst odds. But you said that orange is a lock. You even said it was a lock.
It was a lock.
And what happened?
Well, it was orange, but I talked myself out of the bet.
Yeah, you didn't even end up betting.
I didn't place any money on it.
So you come on the podcast, you say it's a lock, and then you don't even end up putting any money.
Do you know what it was? I'll tell you what happened. So I was like, it's going to be orange. And then I saw the clear and the clear/water.
I don't know why anyone would. I just think that's so boring. Clear.
Well, here's the thing.
So anticlimactic.
So I was thinking about it, and this is what I was like, I'm not going to bet on either. I'm just going to leave it. I was like, there's water on both sidelines, 100%. It isn't 100% that orange Gatorade's on both sidelines. And that's what I was like. And then I was like, maybe I should bet clear. And then I'm like, and then I was just like, nah, I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to put any money on the Gatorade color. But that won't happen again. Next year, there'll be money on Gatorade.
You end up hitting any prop bets, halftime show or national anthem was a big one.
You know what?
It hit the under.
Yes, it did hit the under, which I said it would, which also I didn't bet on.
There you go.
I didn't really do any betting on this. Honestly, I was just like, I kind of want to just enjoy the game and not have like money invested on anything.
So looking at, like, which coach did they show on the sideline first? How many times did they say Patrick Mahomes?
But they did show Garoppolo first.
Before Mahomes?
Yeah.
Really?
Garoppolo was the first shot of the Super Bowl, which I was like, oh, for people that bet on that, that's pretty weird, because I thought
Aaron Andrews had something to do with that in the control room over there.
She was on the 49ers sideline, like you said, so maybe Fox listened to you.
Yeah,
Fox listens to our podcast.
Just to wrap up the Super Bowl talk, I just want to hear if you were a fan of the halftime show, because a lot of people loved it and then it got some criticism. I thought it was one of the better. I usually don't even watch the halftime show. I think it's like, you know the types of people that tune into the Super Bowl specifically to watch the halftime
show? People who don't like football?
Yeah. I'm like the opposite. Like when they're watching, that's like my break.
That's your break.
I go
yes.
on my phone. Yep. I look at social media. That's when I talk
to the people that you're watching. Yeah. No, it's.
But I actually kind of watched it this year, and I thought it was pretty good. It was one of the better ones that I like. You know how we just recited the last 13 Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I can't recite to you the last 13 halftime shows, but just off the top of my head, I think I enjoyed it more than recent ones. I guess I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say this about the halftime show. I don't think I've ever really enjoyed a halftime show. Like, it's just all... Like,
they're only so... They can only be so good.
I don't... Like, I maybe it's because I've never listened... Like, a lot of the people that have performed, I don't really listen to their music. Like, I know, like, Justin Timberlake did it. Like, he's done it 3 times. Yeah. I don't listen to his
music. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
He's the Tom Brady of Super Bowl halftime shows.
How does he get it 3 times after the first one? That's not a... You know?
That's whatever. Not good on the resume.
I guess I let him redeem himself. But yeah, I mean, the Coldplay did it, whatever. I don't really listen to their music. So it's just like, I don't know. It's never been whatever. So I think I'm indifferent about the halftime show.
No opinion at all.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that'll wrap up the Super Bowl talk, but we'll get into someone who is usually in the Super Bowl, wasn't this year, and now he's posting on social media saying, I won't be wearing a blazer to next year's Super Bowl. That's Tom Brady. He's a free agent for the first time in, I don't know how many years, but a long, long time. And it sounds more and more like he's going to test the market. And that's bad news for New England, because in order to get a salary cap break, they need to sign him before free agency officially opens. So there's a lot of different teams that are gathering speculation on Brady, whether that be the Chargers, the 49ers, even your Vegas Raiders are starting to get some buzz.
My Vegas Raiders.
But yeah, I want to hear where you think Brady's going to end up next year.
All right. Do I give the boring answer?
You think he's staying with the Patriots?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, who... If you're Tom Brady, if the Patriots get a couple receivers and maybe draft some, I mean, even though they don't draft skill positions.
They just drafted like N'Keal Harry last year, and now everyone's saying, oh, you know, he's not enough for Tom.
Yeah, whatever. But if they just get a couple more weapons, that team can compete for a Super Bowl.
But I just like, the reason I didn't think he would go back to New England is because it sounds like he's money hungry all of a sudden. Like, this guy's living in a mansion, Super Bowl wife, whatever. I'm not going to judge. He wants to capitalize on how good he is at football, and he hasn't really thus far in his career. A lot of guys who are way worse than him have made way more money. Yeah. So you know what? Good for him in that.
49ers, I guess. That's the only...
Yeah, I didn't think the Patriots were going to throw $30 million at him, but now that it's saying they're going to do that, it's like, okay, you know, maybe he'll stay there. But it sounds like he's not satisfied with the weapons there. And if they're giving him $30 million, guess what? They can't afford all these weapons that he wants.
I think, yeah. The only place that I would want to see him go that's like, that would interest me more, the only place that if he leaves, I would watch him more than if he stays with the Patriots would be the Niners.
Yeah.
Every other team, I'll be honest, too. I don't think I'd watch them. I'd watch his first game, and I don't think they'd be good wherever he goes.
Yeah, and that's my point exactly. He's going to be 43 years old when the season starts. You're 43 years old. You've never played for another head coach. You've never played in another city. I think he doesn't know what he has in New England to a certain extent. He's in that winning culture. It's a lot worse than some of these other places. You go play for the Los Angeles Chargers. First of all, they don't even have fans right now.
I think that would change if he went, but still, yeah, you're still
obviously,
have the same.
You know, he would sell a lot of jerseys, a lot of excitement if Tom Brady's going to play for your city. But my point is, you're 43 years old. You really want to restart at this point in your career? New head coach, yeah. New system, new playbook, new receivers, new O-line. Like, it's just, after a certain amount of time, I just feel like, you're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to leave. This is where I am. And do you think about almost like some sort of, I don't know, maybe this is just me. I'm a big fan of loyalty on a player. I think it looks great when one player plays his entire career with one team, because that's becoming less and less common.
Especially in football.
Yeah.
Like,
so if he leaves, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I really don't want him to leave. I think it'll be, I think it'll be a disaster unless somehow he goes to the 49ers. If he goes to the 49ers, I think they can probably win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, does Brady make that throw?
Probably.
Right?
And I think there's something like, there's this whole report of a rift that Brady's the reason. Like, from what I've read, Brady ushered Jimmy G out of Gillette Stadium. He told Robert Kraft.
What if they switch teams?
Yeah. Like, for Brady to replace Jimmy G at 43 years old, when 4 years ago it was reported that Brady's done and Jimmy G's going to replace him, like, there's something to be said. Like, I don't know if Tom thinks about that and says that would make it even more enjoyable for me to go play in San Francisco, where I grew up. I don't know.
The greatest storyline ever in the NFL history would be if they switch teams and then they play each other in the Super Bowl.
That would be something. I'd be cheering. I never thought I'd say this, but if that happened, I'd be
Patriots,
cheering for the Patriots.
Yeah?
I can't. I
just, I'd cheer for the Patriots. Yeah, no. I've never had a problem with Brady. I've kind of liked him his whole career. I don't hate him like most people do. I know like you do, but also it's different. You're in the same
division.
He's
in my division.
Yeah. But I've always liked him as a player. If he leaves, I won't cheer for him anymore. I just think that's so dumb. You play from when you're what, like 20, whatever, to when you're 43 and then you're going to leave, just play one more year.
Yeah, one like even now, like what is, I guess he wants to play. Like I personally thought his last pass was that Logan Ryan pick six against the Titans. I thought, okay, he's done. He had his first taste of playoff disappointment. They didn't get the first round bye. They didn't win a game in the playoffs. Tom, you know, what more are you trying to prove? You come back another season because the Patriots looked awful this year. They were not, especially on offense. What did they finish? 12-4? They did not look like a 12-4 offensive juggernaut. So I kind of felt like this was a long time coming. Like eventually this decline was coming. And I just feel like why make it worse by going back for one more year?
Well, I think he should go back for one more. You have to give it one more try. It's like the first time he's failed. So you just give it one more go, and then if you can kind of get back to where you were, then maybe you can play even a year after that. But just keep, like, I understand why he's trying to play one more year.
Yeah, and I think he takes a lot of pride. How many quarterbacks, 43 years old, are making Super Bowls? None. He already set that record last year, but he won the Super Bowl. So I think the longer he does it and the longer he wins at such a high age, I just feel like to him, he feels that that even elevates him further in GOAT conversation. But yeah, I think that's our Brady talk. I think both of us kind of feel like he should stay. And
also, if you go to, like, it's literally the best possible scenario. It's the worst division that he's, like, rumored to be going to would be the division that he's in now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right? Like, if he goes to the 49ers division, okay, you're going to play
That's the best division.
You're going to play Russell Wilson twice a year.
And you're going to play the Rams twice a year.
And then even, like, Kyler, who knows what's going to happen there. They might take a step. It's like, just stay at home, Tom.
Stay at home. You know how to beat the Bills twice a year. You know how to beat the Jets twice a year. And you know how to beat the Dolphins once a year. So why not just
get
stay?
That in there.
We have to talk about this because it's starting tomorrow. But that's the XFL.
Oh, baby.
And I think this is more of a joke than a real... I don't know. I don't think it's going to stay. I don't think it's going to stay around. Last year, what league did they have? They had some AAU.
I don't even
because
remember
that's basketball. But there was a league, and it just did not... I think it lasted half a season. I think the XFL is going to be similar to that. It was a disaster the first time it started out. I think the only chance that it has is because it's happening the week after the Super Bowl where people are still really into football. So I think for the first few weeks, it'll do pretty well. But after that, I don't know. I don't see it sticking. I've looked at some of the rosters, some of the old NFL players that are playing in it, which is pretty cool. But I just figured we have to claim our teams now because we're going to be closely monitoring the XFL as we go throughout the next few weeks. So I want to hear from you. I'll let you go first pick, and then I'll claim my team after you.
All right. So I'm going to be honest. This is the first time I have looked at the teams in the league.
Nice.
Right now. So let's just tell the people the teams in case they don't know. So you have the Seattle Dragons. Brutal name.
No, come on.
Brutal name.
That's good.
DC Defenders.
That's got
sounds
a ring
like, kind of like a minor league hockey team.
No, that's got
Los something. Angeles Wildcats. That's not bad. Mm. Houston Roughnecks. Okay. Yikes. Tampa Bay Vipers. New York Guardians. The St. Louis Battlehawks. And the Dallas Renegades.
I just want to say quickly, I'm looking at all these logos right now. And I just think if you go on Madden and choose the create a team option, I feel like all these logos already exist. And they're currently like options to create an expansion team on Madden with. It just, there's nothing I'm looking at here. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've never seen this before.
All right. So I think, I'm looking at this. Okay, you know what? I'm going to cheer for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Big St. Louis Battlehawks
guy.
I'm going with the Seattle Dragons. I love the name. I know you
it's a brutal name.
You weren't too fond of it, but I think that's going to start my new Seattle fandom because Seattle's getting an NHL team soon. And I think I'm going to be a big fan of that if they have a good name. And I want Seattle to come back in the NBA. So I'm going to go Seattle Dragons, and maybe I can start cheering for numerous big Russell Wilson fan too. So maybe I can just get all the Seattle
I like St. Louis because St. Louis lost their team.
That is a really good reason.
They had an NFL team. Also,
and I don't think they ever should have lost.
By the looks of it, they suck because they're +9.5.
In their first game?
Yeah.
Oh, you even got the odds.
Yeah.
Who do they play first week?
The Dallas Renegades.
Oof.
Sunday at 5.
5 o'clock on Sunday.
What a great game.
I don't even know if these...
What I do like is I like how there's games on Saturday. I think that's kind of cool. Maybe not.
Because they're taking advantage of no college and no NFL. So they're really trying out here. I am a fan of some of the rules. I like the 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick.
Yeah, the NFL should do that.
I just think that's too easy.
No, it should be more. It should be like 4th and 25.
But then you can just stack your guys. Like, it's different than saying, like, whatever, 2nd and 25, because they play, like, you play defense differently. But even then, I still think, how often does an onside kick, aside from that one game this year, I think it was on Thanksgiving.
The Buccaneers kicker, right?
Falcons. Falcons.
Oh, Falcons, yeah.
I think this guy got 3 onside kicks in one game. I think
in a row.
I think one was overturned because of a penalty. But regardless, I think that was maybe 3 of the 6 that worked all year out of maybe 100 attempts. It just never happens. But it is an interesting take on some of the NFL rules. So I think I'll probably watch for about a week, and then that's it.
I won't even, I don't think, I'm probably not even going to watch.
I'll follow it.
I'll watch like the first quarter on like of one of these games, probably on Saturday. I don't know, but it's not going to work.
It's not going to be. I take CFL football over the XFL. But I think we should get back into what really matters. And this has become a staple in our show, to end off the podcast each week. And I think this week we can even go a little bit more in depth, and have some more fun with it. Throughout the season, each week to end off our show, we gave a Super Bowl prediction, and the rules were it could not be the same prediction that we gave the week before. So if you said 49ers and Chiefs the week before, the next week you could not pick those two teams playing each other again in the Super Bowl. And it was kind of our fun way. There were a lot of overreactions. You went with Oakland once because they strung together a couple wins. So it was more... for fun than for our actual picks. But I thought it would be a good idea to do them now for next year. So kind of way, way too early.
Right.
But I don't know if you want to start it off.
All right. So out of the AFC, the Chiefs. No, I'm joking. This is going to be a little bit out there, but it's going to work. Ready? Super Bowl prediction from the AFC, the Steelers.
I was thinking about that.
Steelers get Big Ben back.
I just think Big Ben
has a resurgence. Well, think about how their team would have been so good if they had a quarterback this year.
Every former receiver to ever play with Big Ben just rips him as soon as they leave the team.
Yeah,
but he's not a good guy.
Yeah, but Juju's loyal, so it's different.
I don't know.
All right, so Steelers,
I mean, they have the defense for it, so I do like that pick. I was really thinking about them.
And then who's coming out of the NFC other than the Lions? The Lions obviously are going to probably...
You should go double bold and go with 2 non-playoff teams.
All right. Okay, fine. 2 non-playoff teams. Who's making the Super Bowl that didn't make the playoffs this year?
A healthy Todd Gurley's knee going up against Steel City.
No, you know, this is going to make it. The electrifying offense, second year. This head coach, he's groomed his quarterback for another year, and now he's going to be a star. And he's going to throw the same amount of touchdowns, but just less interceptions.
Jameis
Winston. The Buccaneers are going to play the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
So there's a chance, I just want to let you know this before you finalize this pick, that they actually move on from Jameis in the offseason.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's okay. Not going to happen.
I would love that.
And even if it does, then whoever they bring in, maybe Brady. Brady's going to the Buccaneers.
What difference would that Super Bowl be, like in terms of looking at it as a 2 teams on paper, than the one we had this year? This year we had great electrifying offense in the Chiefs, and one of the best defenses in the league in the 49ers. You're giving us that matchup again.
It's just NFC and AFC have flipped.
So, yep. So we got one of the best offenses led by Jameis, and we got one of the best defenses in the Steelers. So that was pretty good. I was thinking of being very, very boring with mine.
Oh, no.
And just saying that they're going to run it back. And Chiefs and 49ers again, and it's going to be awesome. But now that I heard what you said, I know that I'm not allowed.
How about we make it a rule? They have to be two non-playoff
teams. No, I'm not going to go with two non-playoff teams. But I'll have a little bit more fun with it. So from the AFC, this is a team that I thought could have made the Super Bowl this season until about midway through August when something horrible happened to them. They're one of the best teams on paper in the entire NFL, very balanced, great offensive line. Their defense is young. It's upcoming. They got some weapons on offense, and it's our producer's favorite team, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. I think if they shore up their quarterback situation, they can be a real playoff contender. So I'm sending them straight to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. That's another thing about your pick. Super Bowl's in Tampa Bay next year, so Jameis has got that home crowd.
Wait, I thought it was in thing. Is it in Tampa Bay?
I'm pretty sure it's in Tampa Bay because it was Miami, Tampa Bay. They were bidding for it at the same time. Anyway, into the NFC. A lot of good teams in the NFC. I'm really struggling whether to pick a team that I thought had a really good chance of getting there this year, but they made the playoffs, or should I pick a team that really did not live up to expectations? And didn't even make the playoffs this year. The two teams I'm struggling with are the Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons are going right back.
But I just think that the Falcons are the team that I believe in every single year just because they have a few flashy players on offense and they just let me down. So I'm going to go with the ever so reliable Russell Wilson. And I'm going to say the Colts and the Seahawks meet in next year's Super Bowl. And are we picking winners?
Yeah, we're picking winners.
Okay, I'll pick my winner first. Russ gets number two, and he cements himself as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Buccaneers get number two.
Oh, my
God. There we go. That's my team next year. That's it.
You should have gone Bucs. I actually wanted to mention this because it was actually when we were doing our break, when we didn't do one of these podcasts for about four straight weeks. That was fantasy playoffs for us, and I had Jameis Winston in fantasy. So I started.
Oh, I know.
I started. Oh, yeah. Because I beat you by about 100 points. Because
in the semifinals, yeah.
I got into this phase where I was watching Buccaneers football, like it was all that mattered in my life.
It's electrifying,
and it was so entertaining. Every time they get the ball, it was either touchdown or interception, and it just keeps you on your toes.
What's the? I don't know. It's like one of the last weeks of the season. I don't know who they're playing, but Jameis gets the ball, and like the ball is snapped, and he immediately runs like right, and like he's almost running out of bounds, and he just chucks it to Mike Evans in the end zone, like back of the end zone, and he catches it. It's like, what's going on? I love the Buccaneers.
My favorite part about them is how Bruce Arians just publicly rips Jameis Winston, but we all know that he's going to be back.
He will be,
and they'll be in the Super Bowl.
It's official too. He's better than Mariota.
Yeah, it is.
He won that contest,
and he's probably the best quarterback out of that class because that was a pretty bad draft.
Not saying much.
I think that's going to do it for today's episode. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts and Google Play. And we will see you next week
for episode
11. You got to start thinking about who that's going to be.
That's big.
No spoilers.
I already know. Just so the fans know, it's locked in.
Okay. Take it easy.